Hi, everybody. We'll just give people some time to log on. We'll get started in about a minute or two. Okay, we're gonna get started slowly. Some people are still joining on the old link, so just sending that around. Wayne is on his way. And let me share it. Oh, Nancy did too. Let me just post the agenda so people have that. Okay, so as people come in, great, great, great. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Sorry about the link confusion. Just in case you ever can't find it, head to the meeting invite or the agenda for the day. I duplicate those and the link stays the same at the top, so it should always be correct. We have a couple of announcements before we go to the main topic for today. So I will share my screen. So here's that link. And the link for our meetings, they will no longer be kind of plain Zoom or Cornell Zoom. It will say openlibraryfoundation.zoom.us. And it uses the same password as I'm sure everyone's figured out if you're here, the community default password. So I wanted to check in about December 16th. So we our next two meetings are one is on December 12th, where I get a root canal. We can talk about that later, but one is December 12th and one is on December 16th. And I wasn't sure how many people would already be taking off for winter closures if you are. So I just wanted to check in. We don't need to have an answer today, but maybe to start thinking ahead for the next time if we want to meet on the 16th or not. If you have a strong opinion about it and want to share now or drop a note in the chat, that would be great. I will be working, so I will be around, but I don't know. I don't want to have a meeting of one. Okay, Tiziana's around. That's great. Okay. Okay, so let's keep it on for now. And if it changes, it can, but sounds like most people will be around. Great. So last time we met, the topic we discussed was adding more URIs to the inventory instance. And we left the conversation with an action item to create a collaborative notes document for tracking our preferences for which fields might benefit from having URIs and listing the priority for that field per organization. And we talked a little bit about use cases for URIs in inventory instance. In the past, we've talked about how some institutions might want to use inventory for discovery, and that might be helpful to have URIs there. We also talked about just the benefit of having more URIs in inventory, even if you're not using it for discovery. So I created a doc that I hyperlinked here. You should be able to view and edit it. And if you can't, please say something. I did not fill in. So, you know, there's a title here, a brief summary of the purpose of the document, and some instructions. The related doc I linked is the BibFrame to inventory instance mapping. The reason I put this here is because I've already, and this is, I think, based on the mark mapping, but the instance field is kind of already broken out, like what is there. If you want to open Folio and look at inventory and go through this, that's also fine. But one thing I noticed when I was doing the BibFrame mapping or the first round of working on it was that sometimes there are like subfields within a field. Not in our traditional mark sense. I feel like I'm getting sick and things I'm saying aren't making sense. But I think, like, for example, alternative title, or there were some notes Tiziana left about format, which were really great. So I tried to make this make sense, but I did not add every field possible. And so, and I really just put Stanford High priority here just because I wanted people to have a note to show how to fill it out. I don't actually know if it is a high priority for us. So I don't know if this is better to work on asynchronously or if we want to save time for a future meeting to work on this as a group, but that's the idea. Any questions about this or issues you see or preference for when we work on it? Oh, okay. Thanks, Wayne. I see your note about the meeting IDs. I will take a look. I don't know where those came from. Thank you,
Yeah, it's
Nancy.
also the Slack links that are at the top. The saved Slack links need updating. I'll work on that. That's fine. I just mentioned going to mention Kalia that we're not recording, and I think we were going to record this.
Thank you.
That's okay with Wayne because I have to go and I'd like to hear what Wayne has to say. So,
Yes, that's just fine, Nancy. Thanks.
me see if I can figure that out here. Do, do, do. I thought it recorded automatically, but you're right. I didn't hear it happen.
I don't have permission, so.
Wonder if I. Let me stop sharing for a second, see if that helps me. Video? No. Usually.
You might have to claim host. And let me remember where that information is. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna go to the SIG Commanders channel and look there.
Oh, it is recording. It's recording in the upper right-hand corner.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know how to pull the recording, but it is. Thanks, Ed.
It should be automatically posted to a space. I can look all this up and
But
share it with you.
I see the same as Kali that it is recording. I see the little
Yeah,
red.
it is. For some reason it's up there, but it wasn't telling me at the bottom that it was already recording, which
Yeah, it also it was hiding from me until I hovered over it. Zoom with all its updates. Yes, Tamika, feel free to share it. I will try to figure out, and maybe Laura can help. Thank you for figuring out where we retrieve them. Because I'd also like to add them to the agenda at the end. Okay, so feel free to work on this, and maybe I'll just keep it as an agenda item for our next meeting. I tried to fill in the things that I thought would have URIs. I deleted one. I think, Tiziana, you saw that that one didn't have one, and I don't know why I put it there. It's probably just trying to fill things in. So please do share your preferences. And if you don't have a preference, maybe say that too. I'm going to add that here. Just because if it's not a priority at all, then that's also maybe good to know. Not priority. Okay, so moving on. Charlotte, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
I was just when I see this, then I was thinking maybe if we could add some extra columns, and then because then it's much visual, much easier to see which one is high and which is low, and you know, so if each of the libraries in a column called high and medium, low, not prioritized, and then you can put in your Stanford, Cornell, doo-doo-doo, then it's easy to see. How many highs do we have? How many lows? And yeah, instead of having in one column, then you need to, at least me, I admit, but it can also be because I'm more visual. So for me, it's easier to get an overview if I see.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is everyone
Okay.
okay if I do that, if we make that change?
Yes.
Yes, sure.
Okay, cool. So I'll just move things around. Great. Thank you. That's a great suggestion. Okay. So Wayne is here today to talk a little bit about a topic that came up at WolfCon during our pre-conference, which was in person, and then the presenters were able to attend virtually. And this came up, I think, during the review, the summary that Nancy provided at the end of the day and as part of the discussion. So I hope that's a sufficient enough introduction. Wayne, would you like to take over? I can stop sharing my screen.
Yeah, that'd be great. I said to Callie, I have to be very careful about what you say offhand at a conference, because you might be asked to come back and present. I did do a little more thinking about this over the course of the conference, and Lehigh University invited me to be a part of their demonstration or their presentation on the linked data work they're doing with the Rodale collection at Lehigh, using ShareVDE and Folio integration that was developed by AtCult, and then also with a little bit of sort of subcontracting help from Index Data. And so I thought maybe a useful way to start would be to just run through quickly that presentation that I gave in the Lehigh session, because I think it was up against the Library of Congress's very, very popular session on all of the excellent tools that they developed. And so I'm not sure how many people really saw this. So if it's okay, I'll go ahead and just do that. All right, cool. Let's see, how do I do this? Okay, so are folks seeing my slide?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so I want to thank I want to thank the Lehigh staff for the graphic design. That I'm not responsible for this very cute graphic. Anyway, the presentation we gave at WolfCon was called Building Bridges Between Library Communities, and what the notion of it was, how do we bridge between a collaborative cataloging environment like ShareVDE and what it is kind of a more traditional copy cataloging environment like Folio, in a way that is sustainable for library staff and also a benefit to the library patrons. And this is, as I said at WolfCon, this is kind of a subcontractor's view. So I haven't, we haven't actually been terrifically involved in this project. It's mostly been done between the folks at Casolini and ShareVDE and folks at Lehigh. So these are just sort of comments from around the edges, sort of watching how the work has progressed. So for folks who maybe aren't aware of what is going on, there's a Lehigh and ShareVDE and Index Data developed a workflow for collaborative cataloging using linked open data from ShareVDE. And this slide comes from I think Tiziana probably put it together. I see that there's some Italian in there. It describes the data flow between ShareVDE and Folio for the cataloging of the Rodale collection. And I don't want to go into this in a huge amount of detail. The main thing I kind of want to point out is that there are a lot of arrows. Right. It ends up being a complex workflow technically. And it feels like there should be some ways to simplify that. There are some other hybrid cataloging scenarios that you might consider. For example, vendor MARC records, right? Why, how do you, if you have vendor MARC records for your ebooks, how do you integrate that with an upstream linked data provider like Share, for example? Or you have a large corpus of legacy MARC, as I'm sure most of us do, and you maintain it as MARC because that's how your staff is trained and that's what your records look like. You have to do authority control, and it's not reasonable for you're not staffed to do it yourself, so you have to use a vendor. Or you want to be able to take advantage of linked data entity updates that come from upstream in your own system. You may be a member in multiple collaborative cataloging communities. So you may contribute records to share, but you're also an OCLC contributor and customer. And you need to continue to do MARC copy cataloging, but you also need to be working in a linked data environment. Okay, I see. I skipped a slide. My, did I? No. Okay. I'm not sure why this slide I thought came somewhere else. Anyway, this is another example of a cataloging workflow that is in that the Library of Congress is using. They have a large knowledge, or not knowledge base, they have a large database of triples that they call the BFDB, the BibFrame database, which is used to basically feed the LDS ID service, right? So the linked data service that the Library of Congress provides for all kinds of things, actually. And they need that to be in sync with Folio. And they have staff who are working natively using BibFrame for cataloging, and they have staff who are working continuing to work using MARC to maintain and create records, import records, as the case may be. And furthermore, Folio feeds their public catalog. So again, lots of arrows here and lots of stuff in between your linked data source and Folio. So just sort of observing, and this was also, I think folks who were at the linked data workshop will remember that I sort of asked everyone the same questions, everyone who was a presenter on the panel. The questions I was curious about are like, what are the things that get in the way of the kind of integration that you want to build? And these were themes that came out of I think most presenters really resonated and agreed with this, that there are some problems with their sludge, things that get in the way of good integration. One is that Folio really does kind of have a MARC-centric view of bibliographic description, and there's actually that's I don't mean that as a oh, we failed. I mean, most library data exchange is MARC-centric. I mean, it's completely necessary that there be a MARC-centric way of interacting with the outside world, because that is the main way we do that. But we arguably allowed that to creep into things like our inventory data model. Which is, BibFrame inspired. We have instances, we have holdings and items, but it's, an instance feels an awful lot like a MARC record, just, sort of simplified and abstracted a little bit. I apologize. My cat went to the vet yesterday, and so she's very clingy today. So she will join us for the probably remainder of the call. We also have competing requirements for how we store descriptive metadata. So on the one hand, we need this lightweight layer that's efficient, that you can get quick search results and quick responses. On the other hand, we need rich descriptive data for search and for differentiation between entities, so that humans know what is what. As I think you were discussing earlier in the meeting, we need to further enrich the data model with places for entity identifiers. We have decades of library practice maintaining a local catalog, which is really challenging here in the US. It's the only model that most libraries know. Is, these are my records and I'm maintaining my database. And so that gets in the way of some of the kind of collaborative practices that I think living in a linked data world require. And then we have this problem of lots of conversions between different exchange formats. And the conversions are often kind of black box. Like we don't know. I mean, Library of Congress publishes some spreadsheets and they publish some XSLT style sheets. The BIB frame interoperability group is trying to formalize some of these exchange standards. A lot of the conversions are black box or proprietary. So you don't really know how your BIB frame is going to translate into MARC if you need it in MARC, or how your MARC is going to translate into BIB frame if you need it in BIB frame. So what are some things that we could do in Folio to reduce the friction? The three things that I talked about at WolfCon were to introduce identifier properties into the inventory data model as subproperties. And I just made a note. I wonder if there are any Jira issues for that, but it sounds like, am I correct that that's the work that you're currently engaged in?
We had one Jira issue that's been completed, but there would be new ones written for these new URIs we're talking about.
Right. So it sounds like that is actually well in hand. That, process will take some time, of course. But I mean, it sounds like you're doing what you need to do in order to reduce that friction point. Then the other things, and this is what I think I was invited to come and talk about, the other ideas were to create standardized, transparent APIs for import and export of entities from collaborative cataloging environments with well-documented, predictable side effects. Which, sounds easy when you write it, like that on a slide at WolfCon. Would be, I imagine, the work we would need to do some significant requirement gathering. We'd need to build on prior work from the entity management working group, and sort of try and identify what that kind of API might look like and what we would want it to do and how we would want to use it. Primarily how we would want to use it, I think, is the main thing that we really need to figure out. I proposed, and this is something that we are sort of kicking around at Index Data, is a notion of what if there was some kind of extensible linked data middleware. That was event driven. So it would listen for events or harvest events, as the case may be, using existing and emerging protocols, ideally, right? Because you'd like to have this be standards based. That helps an awful lot with predictability and repeatability of workflows. For example, you could use OAI PMH to harvest record changes out of Folio. You could use EMM to harvest record changes out of entity stores. That's one, that's a notion. The middleware would need to have some pretty high fidelity data crosswalks. Ideally, they would be kind of pluggable, so you could choose what you were doing. You would be great to leverage the crosswalks from the Library of Congress, but also to allow for additional transformation pipelines. We would need one thing that it could do is it could have its own storage, and it could store your provenance and audit trails so that you could have a record of when you polled in an entity, in a in sort of an audit trail. One thing that also occurred to me is that it could use Shackle. It could be integrated with Shackle to provide some shape validation. Maybe that's overreaching, but anyway, it could be sort of a gatekeeper for your record quality in that way, potentially. And then ideally, it would have some kind of modular system for extensibility to allow for things like authority reconciliation. And then a question I posed would be, would this be a Folio module, or would this be an external web services API? Or would it be both? Would there be like a Folio module and an Edge module-like thing that was a server? Where would the intelligence lie? Typically in our Edge, in Folio, Edge modules are not very smart. They just sort of pass data back to something within Folio that does heavy lifting, but it might be more valuable to the community at large to have something that sat outside of Folio and wasn't Folio, but knew how to interact with Folio effectively. One sort of example of how this might end up looking is that instead of all of the arrows, we have a much more simplified workflow for Library of Congress that allows for the two-way data transfer that they require, and that is also implicit in the design for Lehigh, that records that are updated in Folio can be harvested and updated in the BibFrame database, and records that are updated in the BibFrame database can be pushed into Folio without, a lot of duct tape around the edges. So that really is what I kind of wanted to talk about today, and I think what I wanted to do is see how much appetite there was for doing the sort of hard and boring work of revisiting some of our requirements that we've established in the past, and developing new requirements for what this kind of software would look like. I'm glad Alvaro is here. I was also very interested in what it might look like from the Folio native linked data modules perspective to say, I mean, I know right now what happens is that, thank you so much, Kat. I know right now that what happens is that in a lot of ways it acts as middleware between its own triple store and Folio inventory and source record storage. And so would it be interesting to think about breaking that functionality out in some way, and making use of a service outside of the linked data module to provide the API for moving data between the triple store and the Folio record storage. So that's pretty much what I had, Kelly. I hope that's all right.
Yes, that was excellent. Thank you so much. And it helped me better understand what you were saying in the pre-conference. Always beware. I will take a note. If I hear a good idea, I will always write it down and come chase you later. I think, Alvaro, unless you want to unmute and say more, I can go through the chat. We had some comments and questions.
It's very interesting. I mean, especially because I couldn't attend the last meeting. Especially because we have finished our data import feature. So maybe I like the idea of standardized APIs. So, maybe we can share what we've done. I mean, because our data import feature is based on APIs, essentially. It's not. Oh, sorry, the camera. Okay, thank you. It's not. It's designed to be used by system admins. So, it has little UI, if any, and it is solely based on APIs. So, that's a striking idea, having all standardized. Just that. I like this approach. I like what Wayne is proposing.
So, if I'm hearing correctly, it sounds like it might be a good idea to learn more about what has been built and see how much crossover there could be or potential for using what's
Yes.
been built.
Yes. And also, I agree that Mark is being used as an intermediate step. It's kind of a, from my very personal point of view, it's kind of annoying because you got you get link a graph somewhere, and then you got to pass through Mark to get to the other graph. That's it's not efficient, and also at least the Library of Congress specs are not clear sometimes, and so it creates some ambiguity. It's kind of vague at some points, so sometimes you get the graph translated to Mark, and then you lose some information because it lacks granularity at some point. There's some specific fields that, for instance, the serials date in Mark they lack granularity, so it's kind of hard to recreate that. And then if you put it back to Mark, you lose whatever granularity you created. Anyways, we've been at least at Citation thinking about how to bridge that gap. We don't have any answer to that yet, but we also are aware about this issue that Mark, well, sorry, Folio is way too Mark centric.
I would just comment that one thing that is interesting about the requirements that m many libraries may have is that there's a real need for integration with upstream linked data providers, and not so much. Although, of course, Library of Congress is an exception, and other national libraries are likely exceptions as well. There's not a whole lot of linked data creation that a typical library would need to do, right? It's really that's not a workflow that is highly desirable, I think. I mean, it's highly desirable in that it's cool, but most libraries, right, like need to be able to make their collection findable for their patrons and would like to, and linked data offers some promise in making the in enriching the description of the collection in ways that add value for patrons. And so that's where I think I just don't want to lose sight of the requirements from from that perspective, that the requirements are not necessarily like I want to curate a perfect triple store. Right. The requirements are, I want to be able to efficiently describe what is in my collection for my patrons.
Well, I have a question because I think that is not wrong. That is true. But some of us are trying to create it and build a triple store. So, well, I really loved your presentation, Wayne, and I really loved the last slide and all the diagrams, really, as well as that key principles page, because it really helped kind of pull out the important pieces and begin to visualize it as a real thing that could happen, and calling it middleware and these different options for what protocols to use. I guess I'm wondering, like, imagine there was a library or a group of libraries, perhaps, who had no interest in involving Mark in this process. I don't know. I think there's a lot we have to figure out about how we deal with the legacy, Mark, which you included as well. But could you elaborate on the question mark in the last slide? And like, is that the middleware, or is there more I could infer from that question mark?
Well, so that's the spot that is empty, right? So the a spot that's empty can turn into lots of different shaped holes, right? Like so I think that the what the question mark in the final slide represents in my mind is something like a ledger of so like the storage piece of it is in my mind kind of a ledger of what is represented in my collection, and how is it connected with external entities, and how is it connected with internal entities that I use to manage my inventory? It could use in my mind, I think it probably pulls events from various sources that represent changes. So, for example, I load records from my ebook vendor into Folio, and I need to I need to, I need those to be updated with appropriate cached, there appropriate identifiers from external linked data stores. And so, this middleware fine, notes that these records have been updated or imported. Adds them to the ledger, and then I'm not sure what the workflow would be. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of what we want to talk about, I think, is what would be the requirements? What are the use cases and what are the requirements? And what would be valuable to libraries who are trying to maintain their collections?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I did invite Jeremy Nelson and Ed Summers here. They because I thought, oh, this would be good to hear their thoughts on. So I don't mean to pick on either of you, but I am. If there are thoughts to unmute or not be, don't hold back, because we're trying to iron it out now, or set up at least next steps. One of which I think is to talk about the import work that was linked in the chat. Thank you for that.
I guess part of what we're doing in both Sinopia and in BlueCore is and integration with Folio is running a series of Sparkle queries against combined work and instance RDF graph to extract the data we want. So I guess, Wayne, is your thinking that this middleware would just sort of leverage the existing Library of Congress? I mean, there it's more interoperability between MARC. So would this middleware piece have sort of the mappings between, a standard bitframe shape into the Folio inventory model?
Yeah, I think that's one of one of the sort of key components that we were envisioning is a way to have sort of a pluggable crosswalks between various data models without losing. So, one of the things Alvaro was lamenting is the lossiness of a chain of going between formats. And the Library of Congress sidesteps that a little bit because they control both ends of it in a lot of ways, right? Like they control the vocabulary. So that's convenient. And then they control the MARC standard as well. And so they avoid a lot of lossiness because they can sort of work with both of those data formats to ensure that they don't lose data. Yeah, so no, I mean I think the notion is that you would have the ability to crosswalk data in different formats through this sort of middleware through data transformation pipelines in the middleware. And
Sort of,
go ahead.
I just a follow up. Is that the requirement to have lossless sort of a transformation? Certainly, I can think where especially an RDF graph, it could be a lot more complex, and whether
Yeah.
that enhanced description is really necessary in Folio.
Yeah, I don't think that the goal is to have lossless. I think the goal is to have I think the goal is to have the ability to construct something that is at the highest level of complexity that's available from the ledger that you're using to manage your entities. So the notion would be that basically you have constructability, you have constructability. So that a description of a bibliographic item would be able to be moved between formats with the highest level of complexity being still available, right? So if the source of it is MARC and there are things in MARC that can't be captured in other formats, that would be preserved as well. But I don't know. I mean, right, we're at the sort of greenfield point here where we're not sure exactly what makes most sense.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I think about this too. Right now, all of our working examples are with bibliographic data, but in the last meeting, we talked a little bit about other types of entities and what that would look like with Folio. Because, for example, a subject, I have no place to store a non-MARC subject in Folio today. Pretty much all of our mappings go to the inventory instance, but a subject is not an instance, it's not an inventory instance. So I started thinking about, well, if we work on that, how do we, which is really maybe one day where we will be, maybe the systems we've designed so far split the bibliographic description very much from a traditional authority description. But in RDF, as I think we all know, they're not quite that different, but the tools we're using are kind of separating them in a way. So what does that look like? And I mean, I just presented on the MARC Authority app, and I would like to use linked data. So how do we do that? And SHARE is a good example. Like SHARE has concepts that can't, I mean, we can map them within the inventory instance, but I can't create a new one and have any kind of storage of its own in Folio. So I was curious about this middleware in that regard too, like not just bibliographic entities, but maybe people also down the line. It is a really big topic and a really big question to unpack. But I just want to come.
Right.
Oh, sorry, Wayne, go ahead.
I was just also going to say, remembering also that Folio is optimized as much as it's optimized for anything, is optimized for the information that you need to manage the collection. Right. And in many cases, as physical inventory. Right. Like there are a lot of optimizations for managing a collection as physical inventory. It comes out of, it's pretty hard to escape the design of legacy ILSs, which are, have a lot of circulation functionality. And so, right. You can see why concepts don't really matter. Right. From that same perspective. So I don't know. I mean, one question that that one might have is Folio the right place to cache that data? And or should it be cached and managed somewhere else?
Yeah, and if so, how would it? There would still be updates that would need to happen. Charlotte, I see your hand, and then Alvaro, and then we probably need to start wrapping things up, but to be continued, sure.
So maybe so I agree. We should really avoid to turn inventory into because that was not the intention. The intention is that that's a catalog and is for doing circulation to patrons and interact with acquisition, etc., etc. But we come back to that. It might be the entity management app we need and a database for having this these kind of data stored, and of course then that should interact with inventory so we can have controlled headings in inventory. So and I yeah that can easily to my mind coexist with that there's this MARC Authority app, so then you can decide, am I having my controlled data controlled using MARC authorities, or am I having my data coming from a BibFrame original and stored in a different way?
Well, I was thinking about Kali was saying, because concepts and people and there's something we were discussing within the team, and it's okay, what happens when we start developing from a linked data perspective, developing, say, authorities edition. And then, for instance, what we have left in the editor, regarding at least the BibFrame model, we have items and holdings left there. But when we get there, We can bump into a very interesting problem, and it's the statuses of items, because that can relate not only to inventory, that it starts to expand all over the place, because that's property that belongs, so to say, to circulation. And then you need to start asking yourself, okay, we are going away from Mark here. So, will we have within Folio like a duplicate efforts, or how this will be working? Like, we'll have a link data part and a mark part. How does this integrate? We don't have answers for that. But we are thinking that that's something that needs to be addressed, like kind of soon, like next year maybe. I don't know, but that's it. Oh, and by the way, we are almost on in time. I wanted to ask if you would like to if you like us to present a data import and data export demo. Because we have both of those features ready or almost ready. Data import will be ready this week, and data export possibly in 10 days.
Yeah, I think that would be great. We've had a lot of questions about it in previous meetings and been following the Jira issues, so that would be wonderful. Maybe we can talk about scheduling. Our next meeting will be the 12th. I can't be there because I'm getting a root canal, but perhaps Nancy can lead the group. Or maybe Alvaro, if you feel comfortable presenting and everyone else can make that time, we can just facilitate that day, but is that too soon? The
No, it's
12th?
okay. It's very good. I mean,
Okay.
we had a schedule like finishing everything by the end of this month. So it's very good.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. So I think that's a good next step is to look at the functionality that's been built very recently, hot off the press. And then I think we should keep talking about our use cases and really get a good sense for what we might want to do. I really appreciate Wayne you sharing these ideas because I think they're spot on and they touch across all the different communities that are part of this group and that we have pretty diverse needs. And that inherently I think makes this work complex, but very fun in my opinion. So I hope we'll see you all next time to talk about the LD import export. And then please do keep filling out the URIs priorities as you have time. And I linked to the BibFrame to instance mapping document. Nancy and I were working on that, but we haven't looked at it in a few months probably. So we'll try to get back to that. But I think it's close. And the idea would be to use, hopefully that would be useful in situations like these. So is any other notes or things we should say before we sign off for the day?
Just wanted to say thanks for giving me a chance to sort of, put these ideas back out again to a little more interested audience. It's always hard at WolfCon because you never know
Totally.
who's in the room. So.
Yes. But the good thing is that you find the people and then people like me will chase you down later. Thank you so much. We'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye
See
bye.
you.
Bye
Bye.
bye.